this is Inta and Nerf, two goblins on Earth, put in charge of the podcast during the break between seasons.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Oh, yeah, that's Nerf. Hey. Okay, every other week...
Babe, look. A frog.
Yeah.
I found it outside.
Okay, put it in the pot with the others.
Ooh, delicious.
Every other week, we're going to be unlocking an episode from the Patreon of Season 1 of Shadow City. Will this entice you to join the Patreon? Who knows?
Inta.
What is it, Nerf?
Inta, hey.
Yes?
Do I entice you?
All the time. But not now. I don't have 7 hours to kill.
Okay, I get it.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
But it's on the calendar.
It is. We have 7 hours tomorrow.
Our young are off picking mushrooms, and we will have
Good.
7 hours to ourselves.
Yay. It's been a while.
It has been a while. It's been about 3 days.
Okay, I get it.
You're not fulfilling your goblinly husbandly duties.
I know, I get it. Okay, I'll work harder on that. It's just I'm not as spry as I used to be.
Don't you talk about my husband that way? You are.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry to me.
Nerf, you drip pure sexual goblin energy. And don't you ever forget that.
I really needed to hear that right now. I've gained a few pounds.
In all the right places, okay?
Oh, listen to you.
Anyway, here's episode 2 of Shadow City. Episode 1 is already available on the main feed from last year. What? Did you want us to post it again? Just go listen to it.
Listen to it.
Or don't. Link is in the description.
Link's in the description.
Wait, say that into my ear. Nerf.
Link is in the description.
These are euphemisms. Here's episode 2.
Back, dear listener, as we return to Shadow City. If you did not listen to the first episode or don't remember what happened in the first episode.
I like that you keep it present tense. If you do not listen to the first episode.
If you do not listen. If you do not listen, here's what you do not know. Everything and nothing happened. We began a bank heist and immediately flashed back in time and accomplished very little. Look, it was elegant and circular. If you do not listen, go listen. But I happily hand it over to Anthony to get us back into this adventure again.
Great. So I feel like I might as well go ahead and start us out since we basically made no progress last time. I'm just going to start from the beginning, get us all back into the setting again, remind everybody sort of what the vibe is. I'm just going to do this a little bit more quickly. Black clouds pregnant with rain hang in the starless black sky over Shadow City, home of devious supervillains, corrupt officials, and low-level criminal scum like you. Only one man stands between Shadow City and utter chaos, a caped right of wrongs who fights evil with tooth dot 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 and claw. A hero so unbeatable, so beloved, that the toy store you pull up to has an entire window display devoted to his new posable talking action figures. But right now, he's not your biggest worry. You're thinking about the $1 million that you owe to Don Triviani, one of Shadow City's most powerful mob bosses. Your driver, Robin Kirk, whimpers, his palms coating the steering wheel in sweat. His eyes are fixed on the other side of the street at the Shadow City First National Bank, the bank you're about to rob. So my understanding from last time is that We were midway through the plan. Mm-hmm. Two of us, Tommy Punches De Plume and Matilda Ma O'Brien, had gone in through the front, intimidated or beat somebody up, right?
Yes, I believe I beat one guard up and then like told the other one to basically scram, and I believe they did leave.
Yes.
Matt Ma O'Brien, do you remember what your character did?
I believe I was about to threaten someone with my bag of oranges.
Yes.
When we started to flash back. And so I don't know if we resolved that
We sure did.
Or if we need to. Okay.
So yeah.
Mid orange bag swing.
Yes. As
we
you're
went
as,
to 55 yeah. minutes of Arnie.
Yes. We record scratched you with the orange bag slung over your shoulder about to come down for a blow. We said, I bet you're wondering how not the person on screen got here. And then we learned that W. Crusher, Arnie's character, mm-hmm. had attempted to get a job at the bank. Failed, went to prison, had to be broken out by all of you in Gardenkirk, and then we still did not find out where Crusher is at this point in the heist. So, with my sphincter tight and my heart in my throat, I will ask Arnie.
Ooh, Friday Night Lights.
What is tight sphincter, heart and throat, can't lose. Where is W. Crusher in this moment, right as Ma is about to cold cock somebody with a bag of oranges?
Well, I will say that after the last recording, I had the thought that I had 2 months to seduce the secretary, but I decided not to flashback in time. Basically, I'm dressed up as a guard.
Okay.
As a guard. And I kind of come into
Can I
come
ask
in
Arnie,
the front
you
door.
Say, you say you're dressed up as a guard. Does that mean you went to like a Spirit Halloween store and got like Protection Man outfit? Like,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Look, here's the thing. It's not a. I didn't spend a lot of money on this costume.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I am dressed as a guard. But keep in mind, dear listener, that I have a special skill that I know the ways of guards. So that maybe will help me sell it a little bit. I just come in as if I'm trying to help. I'm like, whoa, there's a robbery going on in here.
Okay, so it feels like Ma, you basically you were speaking to a guard nearest the door leading to the area with all the tellers behind it. You were about to hit them. Do you follow through with hitting this person?
If he just comes in a fucking Halloween costume, yeah, I'm going to hit him with a bag of oranges.
Oh, no, I'm
not
sorry,
him. From... Not him, but yes. the guard. Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah.
So go ahead and just give me a give me an attack roll against this this guard who you have at your mercy, so to speak.
Okie dokie. Roll a d20 for this.
Yeah. And then add 4.
6, so 10.
So with a 10, you bring the bag of oranges down and he kind of grabs it as it's coming down on him, just right above his head. And you're both now kind of fighting over the bag. So yeah, basically to set up where everybody is, Crusher's coming through the door dressed like a Spirit Halloween guard. Mai is struggling with a bag of oranges with a guard who won't let go of it. And Tommy Punches the Plume is sort of in the center of the lobby area. I guess staring down the customers and the tellers behind the bulletproof glass.
Perfect.
So what would anybody like to do? We don't have to go into full initiative for this.
I'm going to go ahead. Tommy's going to go ahead and say,
nobody moves. Nobody gets hurt. Let's all just put our faces down on the linoleum. What is this, real tile? What is this, marble? That's nice.
Why don't you give me an intimidation roll?
Absolutely. That is a 19.
Wow.
Oh, I'm sorry. 19 on the dice, but it popped up in the right-hand corner, 22.
Oh, great. Okay. So, yeah. So basically, the soothing sounds of your Brad Garrett-esque voice strikes fear into the heart of the people of this bank.
Everybody loves compliance.
Everyone hits the deck, including the guard that was struggling with Ma, just lets go of the bag of oranges and puts his head onto the ground, arms behind his back. The tellers also do that, and they are now out of sight behind the counter. So you're not going to be quite sure what they might be doing because you can't see them. But yeah, you can see that a key ring on the back of the guard who just hit the ground in front of Ma might be something that gets you into the teller's area. So yeah.
I grab it.
Great. Awesome. So you can unlock the way into the back area with all the tellers. You see 3 tellers back here. There is a door, as Crusher knows, there's a door leading to the former, I guess, the ex-bank manager's office before he was mm-hmm. murdered. And then another, and then an elevator that heads down to the vault. What would you like to do? There are, actually, why don't you roll Perception Ma, since you're back there now.
Oh, okay. 11.
Okay, so yeah, with an 11, those you basically see everything I already described to you. There are 3 tellers on the ground, their foreheads on the linoleum, and door to the bank manager's office, and an elevator down to the vault and a guard room. You basically have your run of the place, although there are a lot of people in this room. One of you might want to stay behind and keep an eye on them. It is up to you. What would you like to do now, group?
Anthony, did you say that there was a we had to unlock a door to get into the teller's room?
No. That door that led to the teller's area, that was on a key ring on the guard's back that Ma just grabbed and unlocked it. So all of you can go back there now if you wish.
Oh, great. So I think Tommy's going to ask the tellers to kind of, in his soothing voice, to get up off the ground, keep their eyes down, hands in the air, and walk out to the front of the bank with the rest of the people, just so there's no funny business where they can, like, quickly press a button and call up the police or anything.
Okay.
And I don't want to break the game or anything, but does anyone in the bank recognize Arnie from this grisly murder he committed here a few months ago?
Let's find out.
Keep in mind, I went to a Spirit Halloween store.
Arnie, why don't you roll stealth with disadvantage?
Arnie, okay. Based on the last session, your character was absolutely on the cover of Why magazine. So if anybody here is a subscriber to Why magazine.
Well, the good news is, believe it or not, my stealth is a +5. So,
oof.
But I've still, I rolled an 8 plus 5, I have a 13.
Okay. So with a 13, only one person recognizes you, and it is the receptionist of the bank manager you murdered. And
the one I offered cocaine to?
Yes, the one you offered cocaine to. The one that you, your best friend. Yeah. So she sees you, and her face just goes white. And she goes, whatever you want. Oh my God. And she just closed her eyes. She goes, no, I didn't see you. I didn't see you. It's not the worst bank robber I've ever seen in my life. It could be, this is a dream. This is a dream. Do you want me to leave? Do you want me to, I'll do whatever you want. Please just don't have an idea. Don't think.
It's okay. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Just stay there. And no one's going to get hurt. We don't want to hurt anybody. We just got to get some money and get out of here.
Yeah. Okay. Have an orange.
All right.
Yeah, have an orange.
So she's going to take an orange. I'm going to roll something for her.
Roll for juice?
I'm basically rolling to see if she's got the sack to try to kick an alarm button.
Ooh.
You're going to roll a sunny D20?
Wow.
He's back, baby.
Go ahead and mark inspiration for yourself. That's delightful.
Okay.
Okay, so she rolled... not so great. So you can tell that she is eyeing, I think it would be Ma because you just handed her an orange. You can tell that the receptionist is eyeing one of the little red panic buttons underneath the teller's booth. What would you like to do about that?
Oh, honey, please don't do that. You're not going to get an orange if you do that.
All right. Why don't you roll persuasion? Or intimidation, depending on what you would consider that to be.
Yeah, I think persuasion.
As she's rolling, I think Tommy, who always has his pickleball paddle on person, I think he takes it out of the back of his pants and he's holding it in a white knuckle grip, because he's thinking perhaps she might try and throw the orange to hit. We've just basically given her a projectile
weapon
to hit the button, so he has his pickleball paddle ready to swat that orange away.
I rolled a 19 persuasion.
Wow. Okay. So with a 19, you see her pitcher stand. She plays softball on the weekends. dissolve, and her arm goes slack at her side, and then she reaches up and takes a big bite out of the orange. She goes, "Oh God, fuck! Why did I do that? Why didn't I peel it?"
You gotta peel it first, honey. You gotta peel it first.
That one's got me panicked. She says, pointing at Crusher. So it looks like.
He's an idiot. He showed up in a Halloween costume. Don't worry about it.
She immediately gets Stockholm Syndrome for you. Anybody saying that guy that she saw murder somebody last time is stupid, you're her favorite person now. So she goes, oh my God, how can I help you? Yes. Okay. So the bank, the vault's down that way. There's a guard. There's one guard in the security room after you get out of the elevator. They definitely seen you coming on the security cameras and stuff. So he's probably got his gun out. But anything I can do to help that keeps me nowhere near that one, she says, pointing at Crusher.
Stockholm Syndrome. Well, now you have free healthcare, so get it to erase any trauma from the past.
Lucky me.
And we shut whatever door, whatever teller door.
Yeah.
And maybe I think Tommy tries to break off the handle, or if there's a lock, Anthony.
You can lock it from that side.
From the inside.
Just lock it. Yeah.
Okay.
So there's the teller area and there's the lobby area where you asked everybody to come out into the lobby area.
Yep.
So do you want all of you to be on the side with the teller and then you lock yourselves behind that? Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's what I was kind of wondering. Like, should I stay with them? Like, I guess I'm trying to figure out how to triangulate. Like, I probably should stay away from the teller who recognizes me and that has really taken to Ma. But, like, I don't know how my... I'm trying to think, like, how I can help.
It is up to you. So basically, as is the case with most heist situations, one of you is probably going to want to watch the hostages to make sure they don't just run out and immediately start calling the cops. Maybe the others of you want to go downstairs, or maybe you just want to say, fuck it, let's let the hostages go. We'll be out of here by the time anything happens.
I will. Tommy will stay with the hostages just to kind of keep an eye on things.
Okay.
So then I'm going to the vault. So wait, is Arnie still passing himself off as a guard or trying to?
I thought I was. I could say something like, oh, you son of a bitches, you better, you know, don't take me hostage with you for collateral.
All right, roll deception. You're acting big for the guy on the who's watching the security cameras.
All right. I got an 8.
Okay. So, I'm not going to say whether that succeeded or failed because it's a person that's not on the scene who's watching you. I wouldn't be confident if I were you, but
the good thing about a Crusher, full of confidence.
Great.
I sort of roll my eyes and be like, all right, come on, let's go to the vault. Taking him as my hostage, but clearly a little annoyed.
Great. So you go down the elevator, down a couple floors, and it spits you out in a... into a long lobby leading to a big ass Batman ass safe, just a big old bunch of tumblers, big old fucking thing you'd grab like a ship steering wheel and open. And on the hallway between you and that, there's a little door that leads off to the side, and standing in the doorway holding a rifle at the open elevator door is a guard with an M16. And I'm gonna go ahead and roll and see if you even got the right kind of guard costume. Yeah, it's not even close. The colors aren't even right. You got a sexy guard costume from Spirit Halloween. No.
I accidentally got a Guardians of the Galaxy costume.
Yeah, you just dressed like Groot.
Fan art, please. Fan
You're dressed like sexy Groot, whereas this is an actual person with a gun. But you can tell that there is a big, shiny, red video game object key card dangling from his belt loop that looks like it would probably help with opening the safe. And so far, no alarms. So you actually have time on your side in this moment. What would you like to do?
I pull my gun and try to use Arnie as a hostage anyway, or try to use Crusher as a hostage anyway. Look, I'll kill him. I'll kill him. He's one of yours. He wore the wrong uniform today. His uniform's at the cleaner. And if you don't want him to die, then you let us through.
He goes, go for it. That's fine. You rolled an 8. I rolled a natural 20, and I know that you're it was not difficult for me to suss out what's going on here. Go for it. Just get back in the elevator, get out of here, and we won't even talk about it. It doesn't have to be a thing.
All right.
Do you look like a movie fan?
Why don't you roll insight?
All right.
I'd love to meet someone who's like actively, die. I'm not a movie fan. I hate movies.
Never saw a movie I liked.
Yeah.
Insight, 17.
17. Okay, yeah.
First time in the whole game I'm perceptive about something.
Yeah, and it's about maybe the most useless thing you could possibly be noticing in this moment. Yeah, with a 17, you can tell he has a movie taste that is very, if not exactly, in tune with the top 100 movies on IMDb. The most popular, most crowd-pleasing shit. He's never seen a French film in his life, but he loves some normie-ass films.
What are the odds that Crawl is in the top 100 movies
on IMDb?
I'm
going to say zero. I'm going to go ahead and search the page real quick, but I'm almost certain it's zero. It is zero. Yeah, there's no Crawl in the top 100 movies.
All right, but I'm going to bring out my glaive, which has the power to anyone that recognizes it as a real movie prop becomes obsessed with it. And I will say, like, oh, shit, I forgot. This isn't a real weapon. This is a movie prop. Probably also used in Ready Player One. All the movies are in that, right?
Okay, go ahead and roll persuasion, because he just saw you go into your coat for something, and if you roll poorly, he's going to think you're going for a weapon.
Shit. Yep. All right. Well, I rolled a 19 plus 2, 21.
Wow. Okay, so you managed to unsheathe your glaive with enough speed and dexterity that he realizes he's in no... I guess he's looking at you. He already knew he was basically in no danger. So he sees that. He recognizes that it is, in fact, from Crawl. And he goes, I didn't like that movie. It's not it's not a good movie. It's like 40 years old. Uh-huh. It's boring. The special effects are not as good. It's no Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King, which is my number 4 favorite movie. So you have one more action before I start blasting. And when I start blasting, we have a bunch of noise alarms inside this bank, and immediately the cops are going to be informed of what's going on here.
Anthony, not to call bullshit on you from prior, but I just pulled up the IMDb Top 100 Movies. Oh, I'm sorry. Nope, it's Call Me By Your Name. I'm sorry. Never mind.
Not Crawl Me By Your Name?
Yeah, my bad.
So, you have one more thing you can do with this guard before he starts firing at you. What would you like to do?
So we doors open and he's like at the end of this hall, right?
Yes.
In front of the door to
yes.
the safe. How far away is he?
He is about 30 feet away and he's got a rifle pointed at you.
Right.
And you are in an enclosed space. So it's sort of a fish in a barrel that's 30 feet away kind of situation.
See, so what we've done here is we've taken me, the cleric, who is supposed to be the healer. And I have one action, or unless you've got a real attack.
Nobody else wanted to watch the
I think we're in trouble here. I should have watched the hostages.
I jumped on the grenade because nobody else would make a move.
Yeah, I should have done
that. Okay, here's my question. He says he really likes Lord of the Rings, right? The third one?
He says it's his fourth favorite movie, yeah.
It's his fourth favorite movie.
Do you have a real attack?
How thoroughly did you fill out your sheet, Matt? Did you do every step?
I don't think so. How come?
So you didn't put in any languages that you speak?
Let me see. I don't know. Where are languages at?
It should be in the bottom right-hand corner. Armor, weapons, tools, languages.
Are you checking to see if he speaks guard?
Or elvish?
I was going to see. I mean, look. Knowing Matt, you would pick elvish, right? I speak celestial, what? Common, and undercommon.
I didn't do this, I guess. Sorry.
Well, hey, I feel like you should fill out your form right now if you didn't fill it out.
This plan sounds so bad, I'm going to allow it.
Oh, languages. Languages, actually, I do have. Common and halfling.
Mm.
Halfling?
Halfling is definitely Lord of the Rings. I feel like in this world that means you have an encyclopedic understanding of the director's cut, like commentary and special features of all the Lord of the Rings movies.
Okay. All right. We'll play it your way, Arnie.
Just try.
Oh, yeah. That on that extended edition where they show how they put Boromir in the thing to for his burial, but then that's how they learned how to do the digital painting of Gollum. I thought that was so neat.
Is this
because it's
Pesci's?
The blue under the white skin? It's two Joe Pesci's.
Okay, go ahead and roll. What are you trying to do? In this
I don't
moment?
Fucking
are you trying,
know.
Are you trying to make him like
whatever
you so much
Arnie
that he doesn't shoot
do.
You? Yeah. What is the plan
it
here?
Sucks.
I guess I was just thinking to draw him in and distract him. I guess.
He's got a gun pointed at us, Arnie. We've got to do
okay,
something.
Fine. Use your fucking oranges.
Arnie, Matt, there's one thing I know about Lord of the Rings fans. If you bring up the scene where Viggo Mortensen kicks his helmet, there's something a Lord of the Rings fan must always retort with. Bring up that moment.
That's good.
You will distract them, I guarantee.
Yes.
If he's a real Lord of the Rings fan.
Hey, what about that moment when Viggo Mortensen kicks his helmet?
All right, roll, because we've established that this person is a Lord of the Rings fan, go ahead and roll persuasion with advantage or deception.
Okay. All right, I'm going to do deception. Well, the higher of the two is definitely 14 plus 2, 16.
Okay, he's going to roll to see if he can resist, much like Roger Rabbit shaving a haircut, hearing a shaving a haircut. So his gun is aimed at you, and you see it falter for just a half a second, and he goes, you know, he broke his, and then he stops and, goes, and then puts his gun back in. He goes, nice try, motherfucker, and he starts shooting. So he is going to fire at you. He rolled a 17. Does that beat your AC, Crusher?
Let's see here.
It sure does. Your AC is 13.
Yeah, mine's
okay.
10.
Okay, so he is going to pop you for 12 damage. You feel a bullet hit you right in the sexy uncovered part of your sternum because you have the big guard cleavage that came with the Spirit Halloween thing.
I even got our bulletproof armor costume that doesn't really, but it's still just plastic.
Yeah, it's still just plastic. Yeah, it hits you. It hurts a lot. As the gunshot goes off as well, you hear klaxons start blaring through the bank. You see red lights blaring and blasting. And now he's very clearly going to keep firing. He adjusts from the recoil. His finger tenses around the trigger again. Matt and Arnie, what are you going to do in this elevator?
I think we established that in addition to our like special things, we just all had like handguns.
Sure.
At least we had like guns. So I'm going to fire at him with my gun, which I probably just should have done in the first place.
Okay, go ahead and give me an attack roll.
Anthony, would Tommy have heard these gunshots from upstairs?
Absolutely. Okay, and so do all the people around you. You see a lot of fidgeting, nervousness. When the shots first ring out, there's screams. Everybody jumps near you. Some people start moving towards the door.
So I would, and they're in an elevator. There's no stairs.
No, there's probably a stairway right next to it. Okay. Yeah, that connects.
So I think after the first gunshot, Tommy would have said, like, the people are probably all going to run out anyway. Mm-hmm. So I think Tommy tries to get downstairs as soon as possible.
Okay, great.
I rolled a 14.
Okay, so a 14 will hit him. That is exactly his AC.
Great.
So go ahead and roll, let's say, 2d6. We'll say that's a pistol.
Two. The worst I could have done.
All right. So you shoot him in the exact toe that Viggo Mortensen broke when he kicked that helmet in Lord of the Rings. And he goes, wow, the irony. So everybody go ahead and roll initiative real quick.
16 for Tommy Punches.
11.
I got a 16.
Okay, we're in proper combat now. So, Tommy, it is your turn. You come down the stairs. You see the bullet lop off the front toe of this guard who is trying to adjust his aim back up towards the elevator, which is just a little bit to your left. The stairway door is just to the right of the elevator. What would you like to do?
Am I able to, if I dash, am I still able to hit, or does dash take up my whole action?
He would take up your whole action, but fuck it. Let's just say that he's within a range for you to run and hit him.
Okay. So I dash to attempt to hit him with I'm probably still holding my pickleball paddle, so I attempt to hit him with that.
Sure.
That is a 12 plus 5 is 17.
Oh, wow. Okay. So describe how you whack this dude with your paddle, because it knocks him for a loop.
Yeah, I assume once he was hit in the toe, he was probably a little hunched over, as the body is wont to do. So I think I, almost like I'm swinging a baseball bat, I go running one-handed and swipe my pickleball paddle upward in his face to try and catch him right in the nose.
Yep, you do. You break his nose. You hear the crunch of cartilage, and his head snaps back and hits the door jamb behind him, and he goes, oh, no! And he seems to be in a fair amount of pain. Arnie, it is your turn.
All right. I am going to shoot him.
Okay.
And I can use two guns at the same time.
That doesn't make you special, Arnie.
Maybe.
You don't need all those guns.
I'm also looking at Arnie's character sheet. There's nothing on there that says that you can use. Oh, it says two weapon fighting. I take it back.
I can use two. My character can fly.
Yeah. My character doesn't need to reload because his blood is bullets. You can just go ahead and roll the d20, and we'll say that you're blasting away with both of your guns at that guard who is perilously close to your fellow robber, Tommy Punches the Plume.
Oh, I rolled a 4.
Okay, so you shoot Tommy Punches the Plume instead of the guard. Why don't you roll damage for your gun?
Uh-oh. 12.
Okay, so maximum damage. You shoot Tommy Punches the Plume directly in his meaty back.
He's so big. It's so hard to not hit him.
And, of course, Tommy grimaces.
All right, Ma, it is your turn.
So the guard got hit and broke his nose.
Yes, his nose is broken, like, toe is missing.
Is he still shooting, or is he...
He will when his turn comes back around.
So he can still see, and he's still upright enough to do that.
I think he's on his back, and his head just hit the door jam. Is that right?
He's not on his back. He's standing. His head snapped back and hit the door jam. He's still standing.
I see.
Okay.
But basically, you can tell that, like... If he was trying to aim at you in the elevator, it was going to be difficult, but now there's a very large Brad Garrett-sized bullet-riddled man next to him, so he's probably just going to focus on shooting that person when his turn comes around.
Right. Anthony, true or false? You ever thought you'd say that sentence in your life?
Oh. You think this is the first time I've said that sentence?
Maybe I'm going to yell, surrender, or I'll shoot Ma, too.
Wait, what?
Look, I wouldn't really do it. I'm just... trying to get inside its head.
This is like working with Amelia Bedelia. Like,
what should I do here? I'm just going to shoot him again. Fuck it. I don't know what else to do right now. So I'm going to roll.
Okay.
And Tommy just screams, please aim.
I got a 12.
Yeah. Okay. So that, yeah. Again, that's a 14. It perfectly hits his AC.
Okay.
So yeah, you shoot him. So that's basically enough to reduce his hit points to zero. It is up to you. Are you going for a lethal shot or a non-lethal shot?
Non-lethal.
Where do you just blast off his other toe or the remaining toes on his one foot? How do you want to do this?
I want to hit him in whatever his dominant arm is.
Okay.
So he definitely can't use the gun anymore.
Great.
So I shoot him in the right arm, I'm assuming.
Sure.
I'll assume he's a righty.
Yeah. Let me roll to see if he's a righty.
Okay. Tell me and then. I mean, he's holding it in that whatever arm he's firing.
Well, it's a rifle, so he's holding it in both arms. But yeah, no, he's definitely a righty. So you manage to shoot him in his muscular right bicep. He clutches it with his other hand. It falls to the ground, and you can see with the blood streaming from his face, the fight is completely out of him. And he just goes, "Just take the key. I don't care. Just take the body. It doesn't matter to me. You're gonna be fucked anyway." Once he shows up, and when he says "he," his eyes get really big, and he gets really excited.
So can I also cast a spell, or that's another action?
No, it's okay. We're out of combat now, so go ahead.
I'm going to cast Cure Wounds on Adel's character.
Thank God.
On Tommy.
Tommy punches. On punches.
Sure.
I'm going to crawl over to the guard and ask him what his third favorite movie was.
Almost Famous, for sure.
So before he passes out, he goes, the Dark Knight, I thought it was really mature. I thought it was like Heat, but with superheroes. And then he just passes out.
Oh, I'm so mad that he passed out because I was like, I wanted to talk about how I liked it too, but the ending, it just goes on too long.
He wakes back up and he goes, no, I agree. It was weird.
Right,
it was
right.
Ever since I saw it, I've tried to understand what the hero we deserve, but not the one we need versus the inverse of that. Even me, I can't. And then he passes out.
And I turn to the other two. And I'm like, I like this guy.
So you have basically, there's the safe in front of you. You've got the key to it. If you want to just open it up, you are welcome to. The alarm has been blaring now for, you know, about a minute. And I assume Bob Gardenkirk is waiting out in the, or Bob Robinkirk is waiting in the car for you. What would you like to do?
Guys, I think we've wasted too much time. We got to get out of here before he comes.
Just open it up and let's get the money and go.
Great. All right, so the as you put the key card up against the very large, well, you probably put it up against the key card reader and next to the very large safe door, it automatically begins to spin its wheel counterclockwise. It unlocks and opens, and inside you see a lot of nothing.
Oh, fuck.
What?
How much nothing?
You see about two stacks of $20 bills, so probably at a glance it's probably like $400. And behind you, the basic movie fan comes back up and he goes, "Oh, right, I and blood shoots up and he goes, "You're too late. The Giggler cleared us out days ago. We were trying to keep it secret so that we didn't get shut down, but there's nothing there for you, nerd." And then he passes out again.
And he farted.
Yeah, he farts as he... No, he dies. He farts as he dies.
The Giggler. I hate those freaks.
As you say the word freak, you hear a ding behind you. And as you were focusing on opening the safe, you did not notice that the elevator had come down from the lobby. And it's the doors are about to open. And if anybody wants to roll insight or perception, either way, I can tell you that your robber sense is telling you that the he that this guard was warning you of, the masked vigilante that strikes fear into the hearts of scum like you, would definitely be the kind of person to react to a bank heist. You, for this moment, have one moment to react before those doors open.
So our robber senses are tingling?
Yes, exactly.
I think Tommy either motions to the guys or like tries to grab them by the arms, but I think he's sprinting towards the stairs that he came down.
Okay.
Whether or not he makes it is one thing, but his instinct is to try and take the stairs as fast as possible.
Okay. What about the rest of you?
Since I'm pretty close to the guard anyway and shot, I am going to lie down next to him, pretend to be unconscious like I'm a guard that was also incapacitated.
Okay. All right, Ma, what about you?
Okay, so I have my my coat, which I haven't talked about yet. It's like a big fur coat that I always wear. Mm-hmm. And we essentially said it has the powers of a sentinel shield, so I always get advantage on perception.
Okay.
So I'm going to see if there's another way out of here, if there's a secret way out of here. I'm just going to roll perception.
Sure.
I got a 22, and then I got a 15. I'll take the 22.
Yes, you will. So you can tell that the two main ways out of here are obviously the stairs, the elevator. There's also a ventilation shaft that leads from down here that just basically pumps fresh air from the surface, that if you were to do a little bit of acrobatics, do a little bit of holding your breath and tucking your belly in, maybe you could inchworm your way through the vent to get out, but it would take a while and it would be fairly difficult.
Okay.
In that moment, the doors of the elevator open and punches. As you're running towards the stairs, you can see in the elevator door a figure that has a very familiar pointy-eared outline, a very familiar reddish brownish kind of color to it, and you hear a growl from within the elevator. You have a moment to react. Is there anything you want to do as you're heading for the stairs, or you're just ignoring what's in there?
I think as soon as Tommy sees the outline, the visage of this character, he immediately drops to his knees and puts his hands over his head.
Oh, great. So, as you do that, you realize that the thing inside the elevator is not him himself, but one of his wonderful toys, a decoy kitty.
Where does he get these toys?
So as you say that, the stairwell door is kicked open, and in one fluid motion, there is a brownish reddish blur that shoots through the air towards you, grabs you by the neck and pins you up against the wall, even though you're already on your hands on your knees. And you are looking into the cowled face of Shadow City's greatest superhero, the Cougar. He has, much like other superheroes, a cowl that entirely covers his face except for his mouth. And he grunts at you with frustratingly lovely smelling breath. He goes, the pet store. At that moment, he raises up his hand, presses a button, and the decoy pops, and a lot of smoke comes out. So, Crusher, you're on the ground still pretending to be knocked out, but Ma, you can see now that the Cougar has one of your friends. There's a lot of pink smoke separating the two of you, and the smoke is beginning to sort of waft its way towards you. What do you do?
Can I still clearly see Punches and the Cougar?
No, as the smoke moves forward, it sort of envelops both of them, and now you realize the Cougar could be anywhere in this catnip fog.
If I may.
Yeah. 92.6 in the morning with Punches and the Cougar.
It's ding, ding, ding. Yeah.
Just like a cougar to run in and grab the strongest, youngest man there.
Well, I think this is the moment, because I know we're screwed. We didn't get the money. This guy's going to kill us. Now the Cougar's here. I have to do this at least once per episode. I'm going to use my prayer beads. So if I pray, I get... there's a one... What did we decide last time? There was like a 1 in 100 chance that Jesus would show up?
Yes.
So I roll...
Which
like
are very good odds.
Not bad.
He will either fight my enemies or whisk us away.
Okay.
Oh, so Jesus is like a warp whistle, where he may just take us to another level.
Yeah.
He just takes you to a different bank.
Yeah. Jesus.
I got a 44. I don't know what that means.
It's not the special Jesus number. So no, you pray. But as the smoke gets closer and closer to you, you hear a growly, purry voice say, "You should be praying to me." And a clock comes through the fog and grabs you and throws you up against the wall, and your breath is knocked out of you. So in this moment, the Cougar is not currently paying attention to you, Crusher. So you have a moment if there's something you would like to do while he's looking away from you. His back is actually to you.
So he just talked. So, or I generally have a sense of where he is.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to try to shoot him with my two guns from the ground.
Okay. Roll D20.
I got a 20.
Like a...
I got a 20. I used the wrong dice.
What?
I don't know what that was.
I rolled a d6 and I got a 20.
Wait, how did you roll a dice bigger than a 20?
It's a 26-sided die.
Oh, okay. You rolled a D10 and it was 2-0. Okay.
So not as good as a 20. I rolled a 4.
Okay. You roll a 4. You aim with both guns in the vague direction that you heard the sound of the growly voice of the cougar. And you fire. And from your perspective, you hear a loud metallic spang. And then you hear a wet and then another metallic thump. And then you hear a very loud crashing to the ground. If you get to your feet and you move through the smoke, you see Ma still pressed up against the wall. There's a dent in the wall next to Ma. And on the ground, you see the cougar with a lot of blood coming out of his mouth. And you can sort of gather that you missed, but missed in just the right way that your bullet ricocheted off the wall and went directly into his unarmored mouth. And he is coughing and spurting up blood and like is sort of pawing at the air like a confused cat.
No one ever thinks to shoot Batman in the mouth.
I know.
So, he is on the ground dying in front of you. You can see that his suit, he's trying to tap random parts of his suit in his last few moments of consciousness. And you see if you were in a fucking bike chase, they like just out onto the ground around him. And then some foam just explodes out of his chest on the wall. Just like a bunch of different, it's like a 15 Jack in the Boxes with like confetti just going off at the same time.
It's like a magician's jacket being empty.
Yes, exactly. It's that exactly.
I assume Crusher didn't really want to kill him. I mean, I think there was an assumption that he is somewhat unkillable. And so I think Crusher is a little bit alarmed in this moment and is sort of standing over him being like, what are you trying to grab? How can I help? What are you trying to get here, man? Do you got like a cougar spray or something that heals bullet wounds?
So, those are the last words he ever hears. He's looking at you and he just has like panic and pain in his eyes. And then his eyes just sort of go dead and he stops convulsing. And the cougar is dead in front of you, surrounded by the detritus of some of his gadgets.
Wow. The cougar killed by a man who covered his face when trying to impersonate someone he looked exactly like.
Yeah. I turned to the others and I'm like, guys, we did this together.
This is like a member of the Foot's little cousin accidentally killing Raphael.
Yeah. Punches, you've also, you know, recovered from just being thrown into the wall and stuff like that. The smoke is cleared. Okay. So it's just you down here with the corpse and the unconscious guard. What would you like to do?
Tommy rolls perception.
Yes,
and
please
that
do.
That will be a adjusted 20. It was a 19 plus 1.
Oh, wow. Okay, great. It's very tinny, but you could hear a voice coming from inside the cowl near the ear. It is the voice of what sounds to be a very British, very asexual butler going,
Master, come in. It sounds like you've taken intense trauma damage. Master, your vitals. Master.
And am I still pinned to the wall or am I?
No. He just pinned you with his hand. So you can walk around freely.
So I run over to grab the intercom or I kind of dip down near the cougar's mask. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all good.
Okay, so you say that into his mask.
Yeah.
Go ahead and roll deception.
That is a 7.
So you hear a gasp on the other end, and the butler goes,
"Oh dear! Oh no! Oh, he's dead! Oh no, he's dead! He's been murdered by brigands!"
No, he's just in the shitter.
No, he's not. Oh God! Oh no! Oh, I must tell his young ward. Oh no! You leave him there. Don't you dare take his body. You foul things! If you have an inch of wisdom within you, you will leave him where he lay. It doesn't matter that his suit is full of the most high tech stuff. You'll die in your attempts to use it. Leave it right where it is, you bastards.
No, and Tommy tries to before the butler logs off. He tries to say, "If you're angry about it, come find me. I'm the giggler."
Go ahead and roll deception again.
Okay.
I'm sure your voice sounds exactly like the giggler.
It's me, the giggler.
That's a natural one.
Natural one. Yeah. He goes, "I know what the fucking giggler sounds like, you buffoon." And he hangs up. Okay, so alarm's blaring. It'll probably be, 10 minutes before the cops get here. The corpse of the greatest hero that Shadow City has ever known sits bleeding in front of you. What would you like to do? And also, you have no money.
Grab him. That butler was right. We got to sell all this stuff.
Great. So Tommy goes to pick up the cougar and put him on his back to try and carry out.
Okay. Give me a strength check.
I also grab all of the gadgets and gizmos that sort of fell off of him.
Okay.
That he was like, they were bouncing all over the place.
That's yeah, great. I'll help with that. That, yeah, whatever, right. Like detritus.
Strength check is a 16.
16. Okay. 16 will do it. You hoist is the heaviest. One of the heaviest things you've ever lived. No human being has ever felt this dense. He's like a collapsed star. He's just so dense. This suit has so much stuff.
Wait, he's
in it.
Like Tom Sizemore?
Yes, he also has what's her face's name tattooed above his dick. Heidi Fleiss. He also has the cougar also has Heidi Fleiss's name tattooed above his dick. So Ma and Crusher, you scoop all of the two duffel bags worth of razor sharp jacks, basically good for, you know, popping tires in a car chase. Foam that is now hardened, but it was, you know, initially meant for like it seems like it was initially soft foam, but now it's hard. Maybe you'll figure out what it is for later. And then also
a DVD box set of Cougar Town.
Yeah, why not? A DVD box set of Cougar Town, and also a dart that seems to have some sort of green substance in it that has not been dispersed by the dart yet. It just kind of fell out of his wrist launcher. Okay. So yeah, you head back up through the elevator. And as you come out through the front of the bank, you see Bob Garden, or you see Bob Robinkirk is sitting there patiently, like what the fuck, like freaking out, and seeing that you have the cougar over your shoulder, he like begins to tear out what remains of his hair in panic. You got enough room for him? Is he going in the trunk? Is he going in the back seat?
Trunk, right? We want to hide him, right?
I think Tommy was going to maybe dig into his cowl to check his pulse, because I want to be 100% certain he's dead before we put him somewhere with no oxygen.
Awesome. Go ahead and roll perception or medicine.
I rolled a 19.
Now also roll a constitution saving throw.
That is a 23.
Wow, okay. So with a 23, so you reach in to feel his pulse. As your finger goes in, it also trips an electrical contact set into the cowl, which tries to zap you with 300 volts. But whether because of the immense damage that his suit has undergone, or your incredibly rough cuticles from playing pickleball, the electricity doesn't actually do very much damage to you at all. It kind of tangles. But you can tell that he is definitely dead. Okay. And actually, while you're feeling back there, your fingers drift over a small button. That when you press it, your fingers sort of... Actually, I'm not going to say you press it, but your fingers drift over it, and you see that there's a little button there.
I absolutely press it.
I'm not going to say you press it, but your fingers drift over it and you see that there's a little button there.
I absolutely press it.
Okay, cool. You hear the pre-recorded voice of the butler saying,
"Awaiting voice print for suit unlock."
Mm. And I do the exact same idiotic thing I did in the vault, which is unlock.
All right. So the suit goes, "No!" And it again tries to shock you, but once again, it just kind of tickles you. You specifically seem to be impervious to these shocks. Okay. So Bob Robinkirk is like, "What are you doing? Let's get out of here. What, just get the guy in the..." Wait, is that's the cougar? Oh my God. And he looks at the cougar and he looks behind him at the toy store that's filled with cougar memorabilia. And he looks at the cougar. He's like, "Oh my God, he's so much bigger in person. Oh, geez Louise."
Oh, and Tommy has a spark of an idea. He runs across the street to the toy store. Punches through the window and grabs one of the action figures, brings it back to the cowl, presses the button again, and pulls a string on the back of the doll, the cougar doll.
The doll goes, "It's cougar time." And the suit goes,
"Voice print accepted. Full abilities unlocked."
And the suit begins to, like, you know how when we first started doing CG in movies, everybody would have a suit that, like, assembled in 15 parts and would automatically. It kind of does that. Like, a bunch of panels open up on his suit. He's now an unwieldy open Swiss Army knife of a man that's just got a bunch of different compartments and things like that. But basically, yeah, you see all kinds of stuff. You see his full arsenal laid out before you. It is all connected to the suit. It doesn't seem like it's stuff that can be removed, but you see smoke bombs set into his wrists. You see the jaws of death. There's a literal metal jaw that can unhinge from the bottom of the cowl and can crush anything that's small enough that you could hypothetically have it in your mouth. He has a shock absorber shin and leg guard so he can fall from any height. He's got boots that seem to have some sort of acceleration stuff in it. Every 12-year-old in Shadow City's dream is available to you in this moment.
Every 12-year-old in the city dreams of killing the cougar and stealing his suit.
He's a menace. So I toss the suit that's kind of unfurled and whatever has fallen out. I try and put that in the back of the van as quick as possible. And then, or is it a van or a car?
I think it's car.
Car. I put that in the back seat, and then I put the cougar's identity, his body, I put that in the trunk.
Can I do a perception check to see if I recognize this guy?
Yeah.
Go ahead and roll perception.
Okay. First one was a 6. The second one was an 18.
The suit is still attached to the cougar, the man himself, lot of compartments open up. So you basically have amounts to a corpse inside of a Swiss Army knife, and the two don't seem to be extricable from one another.
But his face,
the cowl opens up, and you can see his face. And with your 19 perception check, you can see that this is Timothy Philanthropy, the millionaire good guy of Shadow City. He's invested so much into the city's homeless shelters, into infrastructure. He's the only good billionaire on planet Earth.
Oh no.
And you killed him. So congratulations for that. But yeah, you can put his body into the back seat. Is he laying across your laps, or is he sitting upward like he's just another one of the guys?
I think we are Weekend at Bernie's, Bernie's-ing it. That's not a phrase I thought I'd say. And I do want to say, just to be clear, Tommy does take whatever, I don't know if it's like a cheek tissue or whatever Tommy can kind of get his big mitts on. Mm-hmm. He grabs or pinches off a bit of skin just to eat it and to be able to later tell the story that he ate the rich.
That's great. Wow. That's delightful.
And Crusher says, Timothy Philanthropy, his father invented the concept of charity.
Robin Kirk goes, oh my God, what did you guys do? Oh, I just got a call from Don Tribbiani. He's waiting for the money. We only got, you know, until sun up, and it's already 11 p.m. But what are we gonna? And in that moment, the suit, the radio sparks to life again, and you hear the sound of somebody, like a younger person, trying to do the cougar's voice, but it's not quite as impressive. And he goes, you killed my master, and just know that I'm gonna find you.
Revenge?
Do what? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do?
I know what revenge is. I'm just trying to think of a cool one. Like, he was always so good with one-liners, and you killed him. And I'm gonna find you though, and you're gonna rue the day you ever crossed the Sparrow.
And I say to the other guys, you gotta let him finish. You can't try to finish for him. It's not a kindness to try to finish his sentences when he's trying to get something out. What's this, Sparrow?
You don't even recognize the famous sidekick of the. Forget it.
And he bursts into tears and starts crying.
I guess with the cougar dead, you're an empty nester.
All right, you get inspiration as well.
So I think Tommy has another plan, which is to, if Tommy knows, or if anybody in the car knows where Timmy Philanthropy lives, it's probably some huge penthouse or a giant castle in the suburbs of Chicago. So if we know where he lives, Tommy suggests that we all go to his place so we can ransack it or find cash to pay off Don Tribbiani.
Robin Kirk says, oh God, that's a good idea. Well, I mean, it'll be dangerous because a jalopy like this is going to be real out of sorts in the rich district, but I guess it's worth a shot. It's not like we have a lot of time. So, all right, here we go. And he puts the pedal to the metal, and this car full of gangsters and the corpse of a philanthropist heads towards the rich district of Shadow City with the hope of sneaking into Timothy Philanthropy's palatial manor.
Hey, Bob, how far away is this mansion?
Oh, it's 10 minutes. Like, you know what? The traffic's pretty good. We'll be there in 5. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Can we swing by Shadow Burger?
You boys got 5 minutes to try to figure out how to get that suit off of him and onto one of you.
Yes, Ma. Ooh.
That's great.
This isn't the first time I've been in a car trying to figure out how to get the clothes off of somebody in 5 minutes' time.
And Tommy takes out like a lobster fork.
Meanwhile, as your car speeds towards the rich district, filled with a corpse and at least one guy who might as well be brain dead who murdered him, you...
huh?
across Shadow City, underground, in a lair that is spray painted with big red lips, shining white smiles, a lot of terrible knock-knock jokes that seem to have been written in blood.
The Rolling Stones?
No, it's a Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's just people watching Rocky Horror. At a wooden stage in front of a brick wall, a lone figure stands, their arm atop a microphone stand, a microphone in their hand. And as they put the microphone to their lips as if to begin to say, what's the deal with Shadow City or something, a flunky runs in and says, boss, 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 I got great news. The cougar, he's dead. We hear a loud crack as the stand-up comedian reaches out, grabs the minion's head, and snaps it all the way around. Mm-hmm. The body hits the ground, and even though this figure is smiling with lipstick staining his teeth, even as he begins to cackle hysterically, the chuckler says, that's not funny! That's not funny at all!
So in this city, there's a giggler and a chuckler?
Oh, shit, I forgot the names.
I mean, it would be great.
No, let's go with the chuckler and see if the giggler shows up, too.
Yeah.
I thought it was fun to be like, yeah, there's a bunch. It's a bunch of Riddler knockoffs.
They're all just different laughs. Yeah. The guffar, the chortler.
Yeah, one does knock-knocks, one does puns, one does, like, story, almost like Lenny Bruce-style comedy, where it ties all together in the end.
Yeah, one's Bill Hicks, where he just kind of complains really loudly. No, I like that. Yeah, fuck it. This is an army of comedy-based villains that this city is known for.
That's great.
Every accident is a gift.
It's like the Joker and the Riddler.
Yeah,
the juggler.
The juggler.
Didn't that make you want to subscribe to the Patreon? We'll be releasing the rest of Season 1 of Shadow City every other week on the main feed, but if you can't wait and want it all now, it's all available at patreon.com/magictavern, including all of Season 2 of Shadow City. Also, while we're being forced to talk about the Patreon, Season 4 of Offices and Bosses begins this week. Go sign up at patreon.com/magictavern.
I think you're talking to me there. I'm impatient.
Oh, I know you are, Nerf. But it's one of the things I love about you.
Oh, jeez, look at you. You love my faults.
I do, and you love my faults.
I do.
We've been together for so long.
Yeah, let me tell you some of the faults you have that I love.
List them.
Okay, you take my fries.
I do.
And then you drink from my cup, and then you backwash. And then there's bits of food.
Wait, is that figurative or I literally do that?
Literally do that.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You're always drinking out of my glass.
You pour from an empty cup because you give so much to me emotionally.
I do, but I love that.
I gotta get back to these credits, honey.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Crusher was played by Arnie Niekamp. Ma O'Brien was played by Matt Young. Tommy Punches De Plume was played by Adil Rafai.
You give me wet willies every once in a while, too. Every once in a while, you stick your wet finger in my ear.
Baby, this is a family podcast. The Game Master was played by Anthony Birch. Check out Anthony's great podcast, Dungeons and Daddies.
When we play fight, you punch me really hard.
I thought you liked it.
Oh, did you?
Wait, when you cry in pain, that's not a good thing?
Oh, no, not on any level.
Did we forget to plug the live shows? Hello from the Magic Tavern has two live shows coming up. Thursday, January 11th at 8 p.m. in Chicago. That's this week. And Saturday, February 3rd at 3 p.m. in San Francisco with special guest Ron Funches. Tickets for both are on sale now. You can find more info and links in the show notes. May I have another note on myself?
You think I don't notice, but you use my toothbrush.
I do, baby. There's just nothing better for my toenails.
Oh, dear Lord. Okay, I love you for that. I really do.
You know what else I love? Shadow City! It was produced by Arnie Niekamp, Matt Young, and Adil Rafai. Post-production coordination by Garrett Schultz. Edited by Sage GC. Shadow City logo by Allard Laban. Speaking of the Shadow City logo, you can buy Shadow City merch on our T Public store. There's a link in the show notes. Shadow City theme music by Sage GC.
I want music.
You want new lovemaking music?
Yes, I would like new lovemaking music. Less horns this time.
Oh, okay. No goblin marching band. All right.
No. No more teenagers from the neighborhood practicing their marching band.
There's something about the rhythm of it that gets me going.
I think I get it, but I finished way too soon.
That's true. That last time, you did finish in about 5.5 hours.
Yeah, there's just something. And I feel bad about it because it's borderline weird.
It is weird, baby, but that's okay. I was able to get some chores done because we still had that time blocked out on the Goblin family calendar.
Oh, good.
You know, this is something that we can bring up with the therapist.
We're going Thursday, by the way.
That's right. Oh, wait, are we still recording? See you in 2 weeks with episode 3 of Shadow City.